Chapter 5. Fun with the Meads. Branches hung bare on the trees. All their crimson and gold leaves lay on the ground, trying to peek through the first light layer of snow. The pleasant fall days were over. Once again the boys and girls from the farms picked up their slates and lunch boxes and trudged up and down the icy roads to the little schoolhouse. Mr. Harris smiled when he saw how much William had grown. "I'd never be fooled this year by thinking you belonged in the primer class. You have a good start towards that 200 pounds you're going to weigh some day." Mr. Harris took hold of William's arm. "Plenty of good strong muscle there, too," he added. "That shows you've done more than play all summer." "I can thank a million or two stones for that muscle, Mr. Harris," and William drew his muscle up into a good-sized ball. One Saturday noon, Simeon and William came home to find Daniel much excited.
"Surprise, surprise, you can't guess what."
"What?" said William, catching a bit of Daniel's enthusiasm.
"We're going over to Mr. and Mrs. Mead's. Mother baked 5 apple pies to take. The oxen are yoked up to the wagon, ready to start. Come on, hurry up."
It wasn't long until the Farnsworth family were all in the wagon. Soft, fresh straw kept out the cold from beneath while they snuggled under quilts and deerskins.
"I like going to visit the Meads, even if there aren't any boys," announced William.
The Meads had 4 girls. The Farnsworths had 4 boys. Sally Mead was in the same class at school as Simeon. She was the eldest girl. Next came Lucy, then Mary, and at last Baby Ruth. Joey Farnsworth was 3 months older than Baby Ruth.
"They aren't like most girls, though," William told Mother. "Sally isn't scared of spiders or snakes. She doesn't scream and run away. She doesn't even cry and get mad when the boys pull her pigtails. She just laughs."
"She's real smart in school, too," added Simeon. "She can read almost as well as I do." He couldn't understand why Pa chuckled.
"Uncle Israel, Aunt Lydia, and Aunt Marie are coming over," said Mother. "We're going to help Mrs. Mead do some quilting. Mr. Mead, Uncle Israel, and Father will have lots to talk about."
"Oh, goody," shouted Simeon. "Moses and Israel will be there, and we can play with boys."
"Hold it, son. You must all play together. You mustn't leave the girls out of anything, even if you'd rather play with your cousins Moses and Israel." Mother's voice made Simeon know she meant just what she said. The children had a wonderful time sliding down the long hill at the back of the house. The snow was just right. It packed so firmly. Daniel took little Mary on his sled. She was only 3. She giggled and squealed as they whizzed down the hill. At sundown, they came shouting and laughing and stamping into the kitchen. Mrs. Mead showed them where to put their mittens and mufflers and caps to dry behind the stove. There was a great deal of excitement in the kitchen. The children gathered around the long table. They watched Aunt Lydia cut the warm brown bread. It was full of plump, soft raisins. She took from the oven a great dish of bubbling Boston baked brown beans. How much longer must they wait? Mrs. Mead placed on the table a huge dish full of fluffy mashed potatoes, with golden streams of butter running down the high mountain peaks. William ran his tongue hungrily around his lips. Moses murmured, "I'm most caved in." But it was Sally who said right out loud, "Oh, I'm so hungry, let's eat." She watched Mother lift the apple pies and a pitcher of thick cream from the lunch basket. There were not enough chairs, but who cared when such delicious odors filled the warm, cheerful kitchen? Mr. Mead put a long board on 2 boxes at one side of the table. The children climbed over the board and sat down. They were very close together. "Give me some room," Daniel tried to push Israel.
"Let's be polite," suggested Mother. "This is a good way to learn to eat without pushing your elbows out at your sides. Straight up, straight down is the way to move your spoon."
So the children practiced moving their arms straight up, straight down, back and forth from dish to mouth. It was fun as long as the person beside you didn't poke you with an elbow. After Mr. Mead had thanked God for this delicious meal, everyone forgot about elbows. They were too busy emptying their places. Oh, but God is kind to give us such good food, thought William. After the last piece of apple pie had disappeared, Mr. Mead took the children into the living room. He had them sit down on the floor before the fireplace. Then he gave each one a handful of chestnuts to roast. They put the nuts as close to the hot coals as they dared. When a nut was roasted enough and was ready to eat, the shell would crack with a bang. That made it easy to take off the soft shell. It was easier still to eat the tender roasted chestnut. "Come and tell us a story, Aunt Marie," called William. "Please, please, please," begged 10 eager voices. "We want a story from Aunt Marie." "Go on, Marie," said Mother to her older sister. Aunt Marie, Uncle Israel, and Mother were brothers and sisters. "Go on, Marie. I'll help Mrs. Mead with the dishes." Aunt Marie loved to tell stories. She had lots of them to tell, too, for she had come to Washington, New Hampshire, when she was a little girl of only 5 years old. That was just a few years after the first pioneers arrived. Aunt Marie sat down on a stool, and the eager faces looked up into hers.